This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Broadway icon John Cameron Mitchell channels the essence of his glam rock icon, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, for one night only at Arts Centre Melbourne this July. So put on some makeup, turn up the A-track, and pull the wig down from the shelf. John Cameron Mitchell, July 10 at Arts Centre Melbourne. Book now. Joy sponsor.
Tom and Warren on Joy.
Good morning, Melbourne.
Good morning. And we're getting a message here. We've got a message from, it's Paul Ricky who says, is it Thursday? Has he slept through Wednesday?
You have. No.
You are correct. It is Tuesday. We, for the next month, are going to be doing Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah, we're filling in, keeping the seat warm.
God, I must have been drunk when we agreed to that shit. I can't believe it. And then I'm thinking to Andy this morning, it's only four, I can handle it. He tells me there's five Tuesdays in a month. There was that moment there where I was like, what? But that's okay, we're going.
A woman has delayed her flight in China for hours on Tuesday after throwing loose change into the plane's engine.
What was she doing on the tarmac anyway?
I have no... It must have been one of those ones, you know, where you board the plane and walk out on the tarmac.
Oh, what
the... She threw it into the plane's engine like pennies into a wishing well.
Are you serious?
According to American foreign press. And as passengers on the China Southern Airlines flight trudged up a set of boarding stairs on the tarmac, they reportedly saw the 80-year-old, so she was 80 years old, throw the coins at the plane's engine. And according to police, the act was her attempt, and I quote, to pray for safety.
Oh, that's... I reckon that's the best way. You know, whenever I went to church, the first thing they said is throw metal screws into an engine. You know what I mean? Safety. <Yeah. laughs> Oh, no. Are people that stupid? I mean, I get there.
Well, it happened.
I check the tyres. I want to go and start kicking them. You know, when you walk around the plane, I want to start kicking tyres. I don't trust them.
No, she threw them in. She made a wish and said, please get me there, safety. And some of the passengers alerted the ground crew, who spent the next several hours digging the change out of the jet engine. And then the plane took off. I don't know if I would stay on the plane.
No, there's no way in hell.
What if they don't know how many she threw in? What if they missed one?
Are you a good flyer? I'm a terrible flyer. I get scared the whole time and scream.
Do you?
I spend my whole time, I can't go to sleep. I want to sit near the wing because I feel it's my job to make sure it hasn't fallen off. And I spend the whole time watching and I go from the wing to the stewardess because when I see fear in her eyes, I know I'm gone.
You know you're gone?
Yeah, I've always been convinced.
But she might just be fearing one of the passengers on there.
No, I think there's a difference when you see him start strapping that seatbelt in and the fear comes on. Yeah.
Have you ever had a scary flight?
Well, the first time Wayne ever took me overseas, it was a surprise.
Yeah.
And I always dreamt of going to Angkor Wat in Cambodia. It's beautiful.
Oh, it's
magnificent. It's just fantastic. And we get there and we flew into Bangkok and I thought, wow, this is so exciting. I finally left Australia, left the kids at home. I think I left them with a babysitter or a can of baked beans and a, you know, something anyway. And then we get there and he goes, we're not staying here, we've got one more flight. And we start walking out to the tarmac. Is it AirAsia? AirAsia. And I'm looking at this plane going, I can see rust. There's duct tape on the wings.
What?
Like, it was terrible.
So you could see rust
and
there was duct tape.
The whole joke. People were carrying plastic bags. They were shoving them in. They were bringing... I thought a woman's going to have like a duck in a box and start sitting on her lap. And Wayne goes, this flight cost us $1. On AirAsia from Bangkok to Sen Reap.
That was to buy the duct tape.
Yeah, and I'm sitting on there going, I knew God was going to kill me. It was the worst 25 minutes of my flight. I prayed the whole time. It was not like Qantas, you know, where the woman says, sit down, you can't, that everything. People were piling boxes. I think man was bringing his house. Like, he had 10, and he was piling it up on his seat. I'm thinking, what the hell? Where are we?
I did one of those internal flights once. It was a bit like that, actually.
No, I'm not joking. Duct tape was on the wings. Duct tape, that silver stuff.
So you reckon it wouldn't have been holding the wing on, though? Maybe it was covering a hole or something. I don't know.
And like I said, I always feel I have to watch the wing. This is the one time I sat there for 25 minutes with my eyes closed. Just, yeah, I think I said the Hail Mary.
I
prayed to somebody. I was probably praying to Prada and Versace, not somebody virgin. You know,
I didn't think you were religious at all.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say I talked to the Queen. I mean, you know, Miss Prada.
I don't get nervous. Only when there's really bad turbulence sometimes, and when everyone sees it, and you watch their face, you're right, and you see if the crew are looking worried.
You know, when it's quiet, and then I'm the one that goes, I won't squeal for you all. It's very early, but... And then they'd have the plane turn to look at me.
There's a new plan to build an aerial cable car designed to reduce traffic congestion and boost tourism in Melbourne CBD.
What do you mean by a cable car?
You know, one of those things that with cables in the air and the little gondola things hanging from.
Oh,
like you'd see on a ski field.
Yeah, okay.
A plan's been put to the state government.
Why is it called a gondola? Isn't that what's in the water?
Well, there's those two types. Yeah, they are gondolas as well.
This is confusing.
Probably cable cars more appropriate, I reckon. But some architects have submitted the proposal to construct a privately funded cable car that would travel between Flinders Street Station and Amy Park.
Where's Amy? Oh, over there?
Over, yeah.
Oh, I can see it MCG. From Flinders Street. Walk, you lazy bastard. You're on your way to sport and you're going to get driven there to watch other people. Oh, God, we're getting lazy.
It's anticipated.
Why don't they put it over the Westgate where the world is shit? Do you know what I mean? Like, so you don't have to get to the airport without sitting in 3.5 hours traffic, not walk 3.5 metres to a sports ground.
I agree. He anticipates it could take up to 3,000 cars off CBD roads each day and increase Melbourne's annual tourism spend by $2 million.
So which idiot's saying this? It'd be someone from the government
the
trying
architect.
To be realistic.
No,
the architect.
The cable car would travel along Birrarung Mar, overlook the Yarra River, and offer views to the MCG and the sports
precinct.
Have
you ever walked along there? It's actually gorgeous. In all the parts of Melbourne, walking along there, the river, the park, the thing, it's... Oh, God, you people are lazy. Build public transport to stop us being stuck in traffic. Make the lazy bastards walk in the city.
Well, I suppose, yeah, it is a beautiful walk. But look, they say it's going to increase tourism.
A fine fox. Is it fine fox?
A flying fox?
Yeah, that thing, you know, with the big cable that goes down.
And you strap to it. That's so much fun.
That'd be great. And then, if you don't like them, you just don't put the brakes on, boom, into the side of the building. That'd get better to get rid of half the pedestrians on the street, wouldn't it?
I don't know. I like a cable car. There's one proposed for Hobart as well,
yeah,
and everyone's
against
it.
Little sweetheart. You can't see over the thing. You need the view. I'm sick of every time we go somewhere, you're carrying this little wooden box around.
We're huge users of the web. How often do you reckon you spend a day on the internet?
Well, it depends. I mean, if my children ask me, I'm never on it.
Mm-hmm.
But if Telstra was looking at my search history, probably 3 or 4 times a day for about 1.5 minutes.
Okay, so that's not too bad because...
No, if you ask my husband, that's really bad. I at least should be going for 7, not 1.5.
Well, according to a new survey, we're spending on average nearly 7 hours each day on tablets, phones, computers with the internet.
But 7, you sleep for 8... You work for 8, that's 16. You know my maths is going to be terrible. Where's the next 7 come from? How many hours have I got left to ping and wee and eat?
You can't do it. You know what the number one site is? It's Reddit. We're spending nearly 15
what
minutes.
What is Reddit?
Reddit is just that news information site.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They have some fun things on there.
Are you telling me porn wasn't number one?
No. Reddit is nearly 15 minutes we're spending on that. The number two site is X videos. I don't know what that is.
Well, that sounds like porn.
But they're only on it for 14 minutes on that site.
Yeah, but most gay men I've met, we're talking here, so what do we say, 14 minutes? 13 minutes we've been looking for the dick you want to see, and then 1 minute would have taken how long it would have been to finish it off. Wasn't 14. Let me tell you, if you can last 14 minutes and 28 seconds, here's my address. Come on down and meet me.
That's yeah. What I was wondering. So this is what, you know, we go to the site, that's how long we tend to spend on. We might go to it several times per day.
So you're telling me they can tell? This is great.
Yeah, so
I don't want to know if you're 6'2" and what you drive. Just tell me how long you can last on a porn site.
So on average, Facebook, when we hit that, we stay there for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Real estate's 10 minutes.
Okay.
Which is up there with the porn site. And that's, you know, we've heard the term real estate porn.
Yeah, but real estate is like porn, isn't it?
Absolutely. YouTube is 8 minutes. Pornhub is 8 minutes. And then if you go down, you've got like, you know, the banks like ANZ and Combank are about 5 minutes.
Okay.
So they're still up there.
So let's basically it tells me that looking at nudies is more important than figuring out how big my bank balance.
Absolutely. Weird news.
Do you pay for porn?
No.
No, I was just wondering. I mean, because sometimes it says you can become a member and I thought, why would you pay for that stuff? It's free. I just don't get it. Would you pay?
No, I wouldn't pay.
Do you pay, Andy?
I use my imagination, Tom.
Oh, look, he blush. He pays. He pays. Yeah.
So 14 minutes you're spending on that site.
So what's the worst?
The worst is there's LinkedIn is about 5 minutes. I think we get
What is that thing? It's a cult. Stop sending me. I worked with you 15 years ago. Sure, I might have known you. What is this LinkedIn? It's like a cult.
One good thing, though, I will say, is people who go to the ABC site for news are going more so than some of the other papers, which is great.
Because we actually can trust ABC. How do we trust Murdoch and all those other ones? They lie in their newspaper.
We're spending 4 minutes when we go to the ABC site compared to, say, The Guardian is 3 minutes. And this is one that I don't understand. We're only spending 2 minutes on Netflix, but maybe that's when you're searching for something. Or maybe it's signing up. I don't know. But only 2 minutes at Netflix.
I see all of a sudden now all these statistics have been thrown out the door. 2 minutes on Netflix.
Yeah, but maybe it is. Maybe
it takes 2.5 minutes for the thing to load. Thank you, Mr. Turnbull. NBN, lovely.
Apparently, LGBTIQ+, did I get everything right? YouTube creators have complained for months about having to deal with strikes, age and consent restrictions, anti-LGBT, etc. ads, and have had their videos demonetized or stripped of ads altogether because of words like trans or transgender in their titles.
Who's this, Facebook?
No, this is YouTube.
And YouTube.
YouTube has said that the language doesn't trigger demonetization, but that it uses machine learning to try and figure out what the why the videos violate its policies, and saying that their systems sometimes get it wrong. And what everyone's complaining about is it puts the onus on the creators who make the videos to ensure that their videos are being treated properly. Well, following complaints from users, YouTube has apologised for some of the problems that LGBTIQ creators have faced regarding its monetization and ad policies in recent months. And the apology comes at the end of US Pride Month, and the video platform says that it will do better by its creators.
Great. So another apology. I'm sick of people apologising. We want action. Sick of, you know, everyone, they go, oh, we're so sorry about all that happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Do action.
And someone as big as YouTube, like, up front, put it in so that people
I'm annoyed with YouTube
this.
And Facebook and all these ads they send me.
You know, why are you annoyed?
Well, for years, you know, you're going through Facebook, you get a sponsored ad. You know, I'd get Aussie Bum, so you get a bit of a package and an underwear, and, oh, I could do that, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, there's a hot man in your area looking for, you know how they give you all those.
Yeah, all these good ones.
I mean, they're all looking for me, hundreds of them. You know, they're live on there now. No, the other day, I was going through Facebook, and I thought, what? I mean, I can entitled to over 50 insurance.
Because you turned 50 on
and
the weekend.
I'm going through, and the next thing, I got a Viagra ad. A Viagra ad. So when did they stop sending me Aussie Bum and cock socks and getting me laid with young people in my area? Now I'm over 50 insurance and they think I've got an erection problem. And I'm thinking, well, if you keep showing me these ads, I wonder why I can't get an erection. I mean, I'm used to looking at hot men in underwear with very good...
Did it start when you turned 50?
Like, the day before.
You're joking.
But I haven't finished yet, have I? No, my whinge. Sorry. Then I've never had a letter from the government, from the Australian government. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm in trouble. What's happened? The police are coming to get me. And I went, oh, no, hang on, maybe I've got a dead relative that's left me money. And there was like this moment of excitement. I ripped it open. Oh, congratulations, you are now in the 50 age group. You can have a free bowel cancer test. And I'm telling you. Oh,
you think they'd wait like for a few weeks afterwards, don't you?
It was on Friday. I hadn't even turned 50 yet, and the bastards are telling me to stick a brush up my. I won't say where.
A brush.
Well, I believe it's what it looks like. I haven't opened the box totally, but I believe it's like this little thing, and just like clean away, and you put it in and send it in the way.
Give yourself a good clean out.
Yeah,
got some new technology for you, Tom.
Oh, good.
An airbag for your iPhone.
No, really.
An airbag. It's been conceived by a German engineering student. And as you drop your phone, this case detects the fall and spider legs come out.
Shit, I need that for me because I like to drink and I fall quite often.
Yep.
I need something to can tell when I'm going down as well.
These spider legs come out as it starts to fall. The legs apparently appear to soften the impact of a fall more than your average case does, making it less likely your fragile bits of the phone are going to come in contact with a hard surface.
As you see, I like to drop mine regularly. But does it have a life raft? Because I have dropped it in a toilet once.
Doesn't.
I realise, don't text and wee. In case it slips. It's straight down that bowl. And then you spend that 2 seconds thinking, shit, I've got to pull that out. Like, I don't know what to do. And then you think, well, do I rinse it again? Or like, has there already been water? And then you think, oh, I don't know. Just
it's hard.
Try.
Don't really think about it. In other technology news, Facebook, we know they know a lot about us. You know, it's pretty obvious by now. They've got every message.
Yes, they know I turned 50, the bastards.
Every message or file sent using one of its many platforms. That includes Instagram, WhatsApp, as well as Facebook. It's got our contact list details, our login locations, if you've got that set, and all the data associated with any apps you've ever had connected to your Facebook account. So it's heaps. Your political affiliation, your religious beliefs, sexual orientation, there's far more that's in their hands. So it's not surprising they've got some patents that they're applying for. And some of these applications include an algorithm that uses your phone's microphone to listen to your surroundings and absorb the what you're listening to try and work out what you're watching, and so it can send ads to you.
So if we just sit in here in between discussing something, you're telling me Facebook's listening to me?
Potentially, if you've got it open, it could be.
See, I'm a moron. Don't you just accept? I don't read terms and conditions.
Well, these are I always do. These are patents, so it's not happening yet. But
did you see my eye roll? I think the audience heard my eye roll when he says, oh, I read it. Yeah, we can tell.
Not all, but I just skim them.
Oh,
sometimes.
No, you wouldn't.
Another one describes...
You highlight it and underline the shit.
Another one describes tracking your daily routine, where you eat, buy coffee, walk and sleep, and provide notifications to others if deviations occur from your normal routine.
Oh, so you can tell if your children are not walking the correct way to school or your partners.
This is more. Tom buys his coffee at this cafe every day. He's gone to a different cafe and it'll tell the owner saying, hey, this guy never comes in here. Grab him. This is your chance.
Because you notice we always used to talk about we go to have coffee with Frenchie.
Yeah.
Well, we've gone to another place because he stopped working on a Thursday morning. He doesn't start until 11.
We don't see him anymore. And yet another application suggests looking at your online activity in order to ascertain personality traits. So whether you're more extroverted, introverted, conservative, open-minded, emotionally stable or not.
Deviant.
All that stuff could potentially be revealed by nothing more than your texts and likes.
Well, I'm stuffed, aren't they? Well, I'm going to... They'll be go looking through my eye and it'll come straight up, life in jail. That bastard is a menace to society. Send him straight off.
We've got one more patent. This is probably the most concerning of all that Facebook has, and that is to predict your future. They're going to try and predict our future. So using our online data, Facebook...
I can do that. I'm not from Facebook. I look at yours, I'll predict, Warren's going to go to the gym after here. Oh, have I predicted the future?
You have predicted the future.
What about, let me predict Andy's future, let me think about your Facebook page. Krispy Kreme, he'll be buying a box full on the way home. Am I correct there, Andy? Yes, head nod. Yep. See, it's easy, I can do that shit.
Using our online data, Facebook's patent explains that it could be possible to approximate when you or your friends may graduate, get engaged or divorced, hired, fired, have a child, and also when death will occur. They reckon they can predict this from our Facebook stuff.
I agree. I'm saying I'm friends with Facebook people. I can predict their future as well. I can have a look. I know what you're doing. I know where Andy's going. Yep.
Maybe they should just come to you.
I know. If you checked out my Facebook page, you know I'm on my way to jail.
Australia's federal politicians, senior public servants and members of the judiciary enjoyed a 2% pay rise on Sunday.
Oh, that's right. So while the west of the country who works on a Sunday in cold, cutting our thing, loses money, and they took that is disgusting.
Yep.
They could have at least had some dignity and waited a week to give themselves a pay rise. So you're cutting one... Oh, that's disgusting.
So they got a 2% pay rise while hospitality and retail
workers...
They've
had three...
This is the penalty rates have been cut for the second year in a row.
Yeah. What do we do? We need... This just can't happen.
So Malcolm Turnbull's going to enjoy a weekly pay rise of $203 a week he gets.
Extra. Oh, the poor princess. So I mean, that won't even pay for his latte down at Double Bay, will it? I mean, he'd be sitting down there.
Whereas full-time and part-time workers in the hospitality industry had their Sunday penalty rates cut by 10%.
Because if you hear the parliament, they say the work week has changed. Well, that's fantastic. Hey, get your little ass up to Canberra on Sunday, princess, and stop walking around at football.
I don't know if our politicians deserve a pay rise. I'm sorry, they're not performing. And if you look at, we're stuck as a country, aren't we?
Well, they're too busy worrying about feathering their own nests.
Feathering their own nests, absolutely.
So now what, they've gone and given big business a pay rise?
Keeping us in the dark age was with coal-fired power and all this sort of stuff, and we're giving them 10 pay rises. This is ridiculous.
And give us an internet You know, there's people in third world people. There's people in mud huts in third world countries that can look up porn quicker than I am, and this is not happening.
I agree. And in retail, so hospitality would cut by 10%.
And they have the worst job in the world. We've all worked in hospitality at some time in our life.
Had their penalty rates cut by 15%.
Oh.
15%.
And they've got to help some sweaty old overweight person try and get into a dress that's way too small for them.
Imagine if you were in retail in Canberra with all the politicians, though.
I'd love it. I'd be terrible in Canberra. I'd boo them.
Would you?
Well, when my daughter, she was at Canberra Hospital for a little while. That was her first hospital out of thing. And there was, I think it was, there was some politician was there, and Jade asked me to stop booing him every time he tried to talk. I went, boo, boo. I think it was Hockey. Was it a man called Hockey? Joe Hockey? He was a big man.
Yeah. He was. Yeah. He was the one that was smoking the cigar.
Yeah, I remember saying to everyone, you know, keep your hands in, you know, close to the table because that bastard will eat anything that comes within. That plate was big.
Wake up with Tom and Warren, Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Available via podcast at joy.org.au, on iTunes, or your favourite podcasting platform. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.